Here we have a translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivan Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Father, this performance in which you are endeavoring to complicate yourself was never attempted by any other Brahma, nor by anyone else, nor by you in previous kalpas, nor will anyone dare to attempt in the future. You are the supreme being in the universe. So how is that you want to have sex with your daughter and cannot control your desire? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. The post of Brahma is the supermost post in the universe, and it appears that there are many Brahmas and many universes beside the one in which we are situated. One who fills this post must be ideal in behavior, for Brahma sets the example for all living entities. Brahma, the living entity, who is the most pious and spiritually elevated, is interested with a post next to that of the Personality of Godhead. Naitat purve kritam tvadye na karishyanti cha pare yastvam dhuitaram gacher anigriya gacham prabhu. O Father, this performance in which you are endeavoring to complicate yourself was never attempted by any other Brahma, nor by anyone else, nor by you in previous kalpas, nor will anyone dare to attempt in the future. You are the supreme being in the universe, so how is that you want to have sex with your daughter and cannot control your desire? Wow. Very challenging verse. Very sensitive verse. I don't know how I ended up having this verse. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of all of you, hopefully we can discuss and make a really good sense out of it because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Om Ajnana Timirandasati Anjana Shalaka Chakshur Mritam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitana Manovishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Spa Pedantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Ritamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sundu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Taruvyascha Kripa Sundu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanivyo Vaishnavivyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gauru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Once again, I want to thank everyone for giving me the opportunity to glorify this wonderful verse recited by Maitreya, specifically to Viduraji. A very interesting verse because this is something that's been seen or practiced by Lord Brahma in the beginning of creation. So it's like setting the scene from the very beginning of creation, how Maya is duratyaya, very difficult to overcome. Even the most glorious personality in the whole universe, such as Lord Brahma, cannot get away with it. Yeah, unless the senses are controlled, unless we are surrendered to Krishna, crossing over Maya's attraction becomes very difficult. So Lord Brahma is setting the scene from day one, from the beginning of creation. So Maitreya was actually hesitant. He didn't want to describe this to Vidura, but he had to say it because that was a reality that had happened. And obviously Lord Brahma is also playing his part in displaying this kind of pastime. So the translation goes, O Father, this performance in which you are endeavoring to complicate yourself was never attempted by any other Brahma, nor by anyone else, nor you in previous kalpas, nor will anyone dare to attempt in the future. You are the supreme being in the universe, so how is it that you want to have sex with your own daughter, and cannot control your desire. So here in the translation, very strong points have been mentioned. One of the first points that's been mentioned is that Lord Brahma is advancing towards his daughter with lustful consciousness. And that's been witnessed by the Saptarishis headed by Marichi. They witnessed that and they were shocked to see what is going on. Our own father advancing towards his daughter with lustful intent. So that picture has been painted in this verse. And the son of Brahma, Marichi, who is one of the head at that time of the Saptarishis, he was the one who was pointing this out, in association with all the other Saptarishis. So the first point he made is that this act of yours has never been attempted by any other Brahmas. So here we're learning that Marichi is mentioning that you're not the only Brahma. There are many, many universes. There are also many other Brahmas. Yeah. So remember, the Saptarishis are very, very conscious of what's going on throughout the universe. They are not ordinary beings like us. They have the ability to see and to understand what even goes on in other planetary systems. So they were confidently, Marichi was confidently saying that even other Brahmas have never done this. What you're doing, running after your daughter in a lustful way. Yeah, how is it that you're doing it? And the second point he made is, nor by anyone else. Forget about Lord Brahma. Even by other entities, it wasn't done. Obviously, you cannot compare it with this day and age in Kali Yuga. But in those days, in the early part of the creation, many of the personalities were living in Svargaloka. And those people were very advanced spiritually. So these things were unheard of. Just like the life in Satya Yuga is different from Treta Yuga. The life in Treta Yuga is different from Dvapara Yuga. As you go further from Satya to Treta, Dvarka to Kali, the degraded kind of society appears. Yeah. Whereas even in this planet Earth, in Satya Yuga, life is a little bit more decent, isn't it? Spiritual, people are spiritual minded, clean, very devoted to God. Yeah. When you compare it with Kali Yuga. So here we're talking about the beginning of creation and the Svargaloka. So he is saying that no one has done this. This is like unheard of. How comes you're doing it? So the third point he is mentioning is, nor will anyone dare to attempt in the future. Nobody will dare to attempt because they know the standard of spiritual practice. Yeah, even in the future, all the Saptarishis, all the sages there in Svargaloka, they will never think of attempting such kind of activities. But yet Brahma is doing it. And then they establish the fact, you are the supreme person of the universe. Yeah, you're supreme. As a supreme, you're supposed to be exemplary. You're supposed to teach us by example. But what you're doing is not exemplary. So Marichi is pretty strongly pointing these things out. How is that you advanced to your daughter with lustful intent? Can you not control your desire? So great personalities are supposed to be Goswami, not Godas. Godas means a servant of the senses. Goswami means someone who can control his senses. So Marichi is telling Brahma that, can you not control your desires? Yeah. So a pretty strong statement. I pray that we can discuss this in a meaningful way, in a way that we can all understand why this pastime has taken place. So Marichi is one of the Saptarishis. You all know that in every kalpa there are different rishis known as the Saptarishis. The Saptarishis are the connection between the ultimate power of Lord Brahma and all the sages. And they are also the connections between the devatas and the humans. Yeah. Here, even in the planet Earth, some of the Saptarishis had appeared during Lord Ramachandra's time and also during Lord Krishna's time had appeared. And they perform many pastimes, like personalities like Kashyapa Muni, for instance. When you read the Mahabharata, you will see they perform many pastimes. So they are the intermediaries between the human society and also the devatas, and also the intermediaries between the Brahmas, administrative affairs within the universe and the sages. Because when you go to The Mahalok and the Svargalok. There are many sages and many saintly personalities. So these rishis, the Sapta rishis, are the intermediary between them. So actually, the word Kashmir comes from Kashyapa, Kashmir. Yeah. So it's interesting to know that it's coming from that word. So who is speaking all these things, especially on the third canto? Who are we learning it from? It's from Maitreya Rishi. Maitreya is discussing with Viduraji. He met Vidura. And throughout the third canto, you can see that discussion between Vidura and Maitreya. So this kind of statements are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Maitreya. Maitreya is one of the greatest personality on earth at that time. And he's very, very closely connected with the Sapta Rishis. Can you imagine that? His father was Parashara Muni. No, he's actually a disciple of Parashara Muni. The son of Parashara Muni is Srila Vyasadeva. So that makes them almost like brothers. Maitreya Rishi and Srila Vyasadeva are like brothers. One is a disciple of Parashara Muni. The other one is a son of Parashara Muni. And who is Parashara Muni's father? There is a personality called... Who is that? Shakti, yeah. Rishi Shakti. I mean, he passed away because of an attack from a Rakshasa or something at some point. There's a story. So there's less... Well, we hear less about him. But his father is one of the Sapta Rishis, Vashishta. Vashishta Muni. So you can imagine how Maitreya is very closely related to this great personality. So his great-grandfather is one of the Sapta Rishis. Yeah. So you can imagine how much learned he is. If he is a disciple of the grandson of a Sapta Rishi like Parashara Muni, you can imagine how realized he is, how much of a great personality he is. So these things have been mentioned by him. Very wonderful discourse between Vidura and Maitreya throughout the third canto and other parts as well. So they are known as the Manasaputras, the Sapta Rishis, because they are created from the minds of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma created them at the beginning of creation. So, they don't have a father and mother in ordinary sense like we do. Yeah. They created from the minds of Lord. Actually, these Sapta Rishis are reappearing in different kalpas. It's not that the same Sapta Rishis exist from beginning of creation until the end of creation. Different Sapta Rishis come and go. Yeah, great personalities. So here in this verse, the one powerful word that was mentioned is Na etat purvei. Na etat purvei. Where Marichi is saying, this activity, what you've done, Lord Brahma, has never been done by anyone else. Yeah, even by other Brahmas, like we mentioned earlier on. So that has already given us an indication about the innumerable verses that exist within the material world, and also the innumerable Brahmas that exist within the universe. You know, you all know the story in Dwarka Lila, where Lord Brahma came to visit Dwarkadish, Lord Krishna. That's when he realized that other Brahmas were also appearing, turning up. And he was inquiring who they are. And Lord Krishna had to tell him, well, you know, you're only a Brahma with forehead for this specific universe. There are so many other universes. So in that way, Marichi is actually hinting and describing here in this verse, many, many multiple Brahmas exist throughout the universe. Yeah, they are, you know, they're responsible only for their specific universe, just like our Lord Brahma is only responsible for this universe. He doesn't get involved with other universes. That's important to know. So what's happening is that every Brahma is responsible to their universe, but who is responsible collectively for the entire universe? It's only Lord Vishnu. Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu is the overseer of all the universes. That makes Lord Vishnu's position unique, different from all the Brahmas. Because sometimes the Brahmas, they think they are the doers. They think they are the creators. They think they are on the same level as the other members of the Guna avatar, Lord Shiva and also Lord Vishnu. But they are not. Brahma is not. That is one of the reasons Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport. That's one of the reasons why Brahma comes back again and again. Because so long as he has a desire to think, you know, that he is actually the controller of the universe, he will not be entitled to go back to the spiritual world. But, you know, there are so many different kind of personalities occupying that post, the post of Brahma. The second point that's mentioned by Marichi is Kari Shilanti Chapare. Kari Shilanti Chapare. This activity, what you are attempting to do, has never been done by anyone. By the way, I mean, it was only intent. Lord Brahma only thought of going after Vak, his daughter. Nothing had happened. It was just a mental issue here, not a physical issue or anything like that. He was prompted by the rishis and by his sons. And obviously he came to his senses immediately. Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit further on. So when they say that, no, nor by anyone else, they're thinking because they are spiritually oriented personalities there in Svargaloka. And nobody has ever tried this kind of activity, what Brahma was doing. Yeah. So because they are the transmitters of spiritual knowledge, they're knowledgeable. They know the do's and don'ts. They know what need to be done, what cannot be done. So because of that, they refrain. They can't even think of doing such kind of act. Yeah. They are also the founders of the Brahmin lineage. All the Brahmin, you know, the Gotras that we hear about in India, all the Brahminical lineages, they're all coming. They start from these rishis, from Sapta rishis. So they are like the origin of the Brahmins, you can say. And they are also the first transmitters of yoga. The whole concept of yoga started from them. They learned it from Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is actually the only originator. He taught the science of yoga to the Sapta Rishis, and the Sapta Rishis actually distributed the message and the science of yoga throughout the universe. They practice it. Yoga means controlling ourselves and focusing our mind on Lord Krishna. So they're expert in this. So they can never imagine that any one of them would do such a thing. Yeah, that's why they say, Kari Shanti Cha Pare. The other point he mentioned is Purve, Purve Kritam. Purve Kritam means no one in the previous kalpas have done it. When we talk about kalpa, we talk about one day of Lord Brahma, right? So in other words, they are saying that in every day of your life, from the time you appeared, this kind of activity has never been witnessed. You're the first one to do it. Isn't that sad? So we have like a kalpa. A kalpa is very long in human calculation. It's something in the region of 4.32 billion human years. It's only one day for Lord Brahma. For us, it's over 4 billion years. That completes one day of Lord Brahma. And Brahma lives for 100 years, right? So that means how many kalpas do we have in one year? 360. 360. And if you multiply that by 100, you're talking about 36,000 kalpas Lord Brahma is living. Yeah, so a very, very long time. It works out something in the region of 311 trillion human years. That's how long the universe exists, from the beginning till the end. Very, very long time. So they're saying that by your previous kalpas, in any of your previous days, you've never performed, you've never acted. And then chapare. Chapare means nor anyone will dare to attempt in the future. Why is that? Because these rishis and these saintly personalities in Svargaloka, first of all, they practice celibacy. A lot of them are celibate. Some of them are involved in progeny and creating a population for the universe. But the majority of them are celibate. So because they practice celibacy, there is less risk. They don't have to associate so much with the opposite gender. Because of that, they can control themselves. And they remain unmarried. A lot of them remain unmarried, like the Kumaras, for instance. They've decided. The Kumaras are actually the first four personalities that came out of the mind of Lord Brahma. So they decided to remain celibate, and they decided to be unmarried. And they are also motivated and practicing their religious duties, and they have a full conviction that their life is centered around a spiritual life. Because of that, they can protect themselves. And they are constantly honoring Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and meditating and praying. Their thoughts, their actions, everything is centered around spiritualism. They are very pure-hearted. Because of that, they are safeguarded and they are protected. And ultimately, they mention the word Prabhu. Marichi is saying, oh, you're a Prabhu, you're a master, Lord Brahma. So we have to understand Lord Brahma is one of the greatest devotees of the Lord. Although he may have a tinge of some kind of material attraction, hence he still remains in the material world, even though he has such a great post. So he is a great devotee. The entire Brahmanda universe that he is in charge of is controlled by him. Krishna has given him that power. That's why they're calling him Prabhu, because he's a master. He's a master of that specific universe. But one must never consider Brahma at the same level as Vishnu. Yeah. If we consider Lord Brahma, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Sarva Lakshmana, Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although he is known as Prabhu, as a master, if one considers Lord Brahma to be in the same level as Lord Vishnu, he is known as Prashandi. Prashandi means offender. He becomes an offender. So it's an offense to consider that. So Lord Brahma always prefers the association of the devotees, and he's always associating with the saintly personalities. Because of that, he's also known as Paradukadiki. He's compassionate for the living entities. Within the universe, he has so much interest to see people developing bhakti, developing spiritual life. He assists that as well. In general, the demigods are very happy when they see someone taking up a spiritual life sincerely. The demigods actually assist that living entity to proceed and to develop their spiritual life. So Lord Brahma is Brahmu again because he's ultimately accountable and facilitating for the running of the universe. Yeah, just like within a company, the CEO may organize and facilitate for all the employees to do their job. Yeah, so that doesn't mean if they're running the company, if they're producing something, if they're manufacturing something, it doesn't mean that they are the one who created it. There is someone at the top who's facilitating, who's providing the machineries, who's providing the offices, the facility, the infrastructure. Yeah. So Lord Brahma's position is like that. Ultimately, Krishna is providing, Lord Vishnu is providing the original ingredient, the Mahatattva. Brahma is only facilitating, like a CEO, he's organizing things within the material world in such a way, life is running smoothly. Otherwise, he's never the creator. He's considered to be the secondary creator. The original creator is Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu creates and he facilitates. But most of the design, you could say, within the universe, he's responsible. Sometimes you meditate on a beautiful flower. You imagine and you wonder how beautifully this flower has been done. Ultimately, Brahma is responsible to make sure these things are beautifully designed in the whole universe, in the whole material world. And ultimately, he's also residing in the highest planetary system within the material world, which is Svargalok. Sometimes it's known as Brahmaloka. As good as the spiritual world, Svargalok is just an amazing place. There's always that same Janma, Murtu, Jara, Vyadi. Death is there, old age is there in Brahmaloka. So the question is that, okay, we understand Brahma is great. He is a Prabhu, yeah? Why is he then behaving in such strange way, abominable way, you could say? Someone running towards his daughter in a lustful way is considered to be very abominable, especially with his own daughter. How comes such a great personality cannot even control his senses? Yeah, when others, the Goswamis, are controlling his senses, here is a great personality within the universe. How comes he cannot control? So do we still call him the Adi Guru? Is he still our original Guru? Sometimes this kind of thought will come to our mind. If he is behaving like this, do we call him our Adi Guru, the original spiritual master from whom everything emanates? Do we still need to remain in the Gaudiya Brahma Sampradaya? Our Sampradaya is coming from Lord Brahma, right? Are we in the right Sampradaya? Maybe we should go somewhere else. This kind of wicked thoughts may come in our mind. So this discussion that we have today is supposed to resolve that, and God help me. So do we want to be under this disciplic succession? Some devotees may think like that, or some people may think like that. So let's recap what was going on in this past time. First of all, Brahma simply got bewildered. He hasn't actually acted upon what he desired. He was bewildered. He created this beautiful personality called Vak. She is actually the personification of speech, knowledge, thinking. Yeah, she was the original personality who was supposed to be the predominating deity of speech and knowledge. Very similar to Saraswati. Saraswati came afterwards. Yeah, but the original personality was this daughter. Actually, some people, in some places in the Vedas, she's known as daughter, and some places it says she's his consort. The same with Saraswati. Saraswati is also seen as a daughter and also as a consort. They are created from his mind. Yeah. So those things are debatable. There is two different divisions of, you know, the readers of the Vedas who argue that, oh, she's considered to be a daughter. One is saying that she's considered to be a consort. Sometimes difficult. I mean, would you say Radharani is a daughter of Krishna? Radharani is also coming out of Krishna. She is Haladini Shakti. She expanded from Lord Krishna himself. But we don't see her as a daughter. But in the same cases, in the case of Lord Brahma, they don't have any father or mother, so Brahma is considered to be like their father, yeah? Even though they are created from his mind. So we got to be careful not to calculate these things from our own human calculation. That's where we get in trouble. Yeah, not by not understanding the intent of this personality is what they do, what they're doing. So he's bewildered. He shamelessly ran after her back. But when he was doing that, he actually changed his form. That's one thing to bear in mind. He became a stag like a deer. You know, he changed his form. So in other words, he didn't pursue with Vak, you know, after Vak with his original Brahma's form. He changes form. They have the ability to do that. We cannot do that here in Kali Yuga, in the Bhuloka. In Svargaloka, their body is very subtle. Yeah, they don't have a physical body like us, which is subject to disease and, you know, sweat and mucus and everything. You know, they don't have that kind of body. Yeah, they have a very, very refined body. Yeah, the physical elements are actually very dispersed, and virtually they live on their subtle platform, on the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. So if Brahma wants to change his physical body to an animal, he can. He was doing that. So that's one important point to bear in mind. But the point here is, as Prabhupada always mentioned to us, that we have to be careful not to freely mix with the opposite gender. A very attractive man can be a danger for the spiritual life of a woman. Yeah, women could be bewildered by seeing this attractive man, and vice versa. A man can also be attracted by a beautiful woman. So when these two genders are freely mixing, a danger comes up. Yeah, that's why the association of devotees is very, very important. So this whole point is very nicely described by King Yayati. You know King Yayati, when you read the ninth canto, there's a whole chapter dedicated about the activities of King Yayati. King Yayati was an enjoyer. He was an enjoyer. He was doing all kinds of sinful activities. He was also involved in all kinds of sexual activities with different kind of personalities. So at one point, he was so disgusted with everything that he's done, but because he can see everything is temporary. Yeah. So he learned so much from what he's done. And his teachings are actually captured in the ninth canto. When you read the ninth canto, he was speaking to his wife, Devayanti. And so many wonderful points have been made by him. One of the points that he made, King Yayati, to Devayani is that this lust is uncontrollable. And lust cannot be satisfied by anything, materially. In the material world, you cannot satisfy it. Therefore, why waste our time from focusing on lustful activities? He's saying even for a greedy man, someone who is very greedy,
Even if he gets a total number of stock of gold within the planet, he still will not be satisfied. So that's the nature of lust. Yeah. Therefore, you know, he is advising that devyanti that one has to avoid from this kind of trap. He is saying lusty desires are like a fire. You know, when you feed a fire a ghee or a butter, do you think you can devour, you can turn the fire off? No. The fire will ask you, I want more, I want more, I want more. You can put so much ghee, but you can never put the fire out because the ghee will keep burning. So lust is like that. You know, he made that strong point as well. So to extinguish that lusty desire, what do we do? What is the solution? He's giving the solution as well, King Gayatri. He's saying the first thing is to renounce. Krishna is saying the same thing. Yeah. Maya Dakshena Prakriti in Bhagavad Gita is saying to overcome Maya's allurement is very difficult. Maya is very difficult to overcome, right? But those who surrender unto me will find it very easy to get over it. So if we have this predicament, you know, the greed, the less desires conquering us at all time, then we have to surrender. When we surrender to Krishna, Krishna makes it easy. Isn't that true that for a devotees who are in the association of a wonderful devotees association, they find it very difficult to be aloof from Maya, from any kind of activities which are considered to be sinful. It's very easy for us to protect ourselves when we are in the association of the devotees. So that renunciation means accepting anything that's favorable for devotional service, rejecting anything that's not favorable, anything sinful we reject. Those are the kind of things that will give us the strength to overcome this kind of lusty desires or a greedy kind of mentality. So in that connection, this King Yati is given one beautiful verse in the ninth canto, chapter 19, text 13. Matras vasra duhi trava na vivikta shano bhavet balavan indriyanagram vidisham apikarshati. Here he is saying actually one must be careful not to be with a man or with a woman. For a woman who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, it's dangerous for her to be in the association of a lusty man. And for a man who's practicing Krishna consciousness, again, it's dangerous for him to be in the association of privately with a beautiful woman, for instance. So King Yayati here is saying, one should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat, even with one's own mother, sister, or daughter. For the senses are so strong that even though one is very advanced in knowledge, he may be attracted by sex. Very strong point. Matra, he's saying, King Yayati. Matra means one's mother. Swastra is sister. Dvitira means one's daughter. Avipta asana, one must not sit closely on one seat with the opposite gender. Bhavet balavan, one should be very, very strong. Vida vasam, even a very learned, very advanced man can fall into the trap of getting carried away because of his lusty desires. Yeah? And because this association, close and private association between the opposite gender, it agitates the mind. The mind is automatically agitated. So the simple practice is to keep a respectful distance. For a lady, to keep a respectful distance from a man to protect her own spirituality. For a man to maintain a respectful distance physically from the other gender in a way that we can focus on our spiritual life. And Srila Prabhupada commented and made some points there. He is saying the senses are so strong and mad. They're mad. Anywhere, any time they can bewilder us. We can be practicing spiritual life for a very long time. Just any association with the opposite gender in a private place can actually cause us to be mad. So Prabhupada is saying, you may be sensible, you may be considered to be advanced or knowledgeable, but everyone can be a victim, yeah, for this kind of situation. One should not live alone with any of the above. One should not live with his daughter alone, with his mother alone, with his sister alone.
If we want to protect our spiritual life, as I said, because the senses are so strong, they can affect us. We learned it from Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is doing it in the beginning of creation.
Vidisham adhikarshati.
Maitreya hesitated, actually, when he was talking, like I was saying earlier on, when he was explaining to Vidura, initially he hesitated. He didn't want to mention this because it's so embarrassing to talk about these things that Lord Brahma is involved in this kind of activity. But because these things are very important for us to know, he mentioned it. And it is captured. Vyasadeva has captured it in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because these things are the impediment for our spiritual progress. So it had to be mentioned. So he mentioned it very clearly. So Brahma's warning, there is a warning that Brahma is giving us from the beginning of creation, like we mentioned. But what we have to understand that his life had changed after he's been rebuked by Marichi and by his sons, telling him, Brahma, my father, why are you doing this? So immediately he retracted from what he was doing. And he actually destroyed that body he has, which has that lustful attraction to Vak. So to say that actually by doing that, he relinquished his previous body. But don't assume it like ours, you know, if we give up our body, we're dead, yeah? But for him, he has a subtle body. It's just a matter of relinquishing that stag body and come back to his original senses, to his original form. So in that way, it is said that he actually gave up his previous body. And Lord Vishnu instructed him on the Vedas after that, not before that. So in other words, Srila Prabhupada mentioned his purport. By the time he gave up his body when he was in that lustful consciousness and attained his pure Lord Brahma body, that was the time when Lord Vishnu also instructed him. From then on, such kind of incidents never ever happened because he became the real guru. It's like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself mentioned that as well. One may accidentally fall down at some point, but if he comes back to his senses and if he continue practicing spiritual life genuinely thereafter, he's still considered to be saintly. Therefore, even Lord Brahma, because he gave up that consciousness, he corrected himself. He was very remorseful of what he's done, yeah? And immediately he came out of it and he became a pure soul once again. And hence, Lord Vishnu also instructed him the entire Vedic literature. So in that sense, he's still considered to be a great personality, a great devotee of Krishna. He is our original guru from whom we've learned everything. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole Vedic literatures are coming from him. So in conclusion, you know, what we learn from here is that the senses has to be controlled at all time, but we cannot control our senses by our own endeavor. We need the assistance of Lord Krishna. Krishna can help us. Krishna can make it easy to overcome this kind of big issue that we have in the material world, attraction to material things. And the only way to do that is through surrender. The surrender, as Rupa Goswami mentioned, is always accepting any favorable activity for devotional service. The hearing, chanting, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam, all those devotional activities are our refuge. And also rejecting anything unfavorable to devotional service. Always remaining meek, very humble, you know. Practice our devotional service in a humble state. And always depend on Lord Krishna for our protection. Yeah, if we have that kind of frame of mind, this, what appears to be very difficult to overcome, will be very easy for us to overcome. Very sensitive subject. I'm conscious of time, just past half past eight. So I wonder if anyone can add something that I wasn't able to add in this verse. Very sensitive and difficult one. Someone is going to help me here. Go ahead. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. This doesn't work anyway. Doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
Anyway, just Yeah, few points I was thinking about. It's a fascinating pastime. Anyway. And just to touch a little bit on this Brahma's feeling lust, whatever, in different pranas is described, I already mentioned some time ago before, that before Brahma created, as you mentioned also, Vak, before that he didn't create anything beautiful. He created all the nasty things, and then Shiva came, destroying the universe, and then all these shadowy creatures that wanted to attack Brahma. So then he invested all his energies and power to create something beautiful.
Yes.
But when he created Vak, he was totally shocked by this. And by the way, Vak was not his bodily relation, I'll be considered. Therefore, our conception is like bodily. Of course, it's very abominable.
Yes.
When you run after your daughter in this. We don't have this understanding. The same like you create a beautiful house and you enter to enjoy. It's not that you have bloodly relations to your house or something. So he created something beautiful and was bewildered to show us example that everybody is subjected to this kind of thing. That's the one thing. And another thing in the question that they said that Lord Brahma gave up that body. And in some verses ahead, he said, before this incident with the Vak, sex life was not allowed. And then he quit his body to create another body in which sex life was allowed. So I'm just wondering, who is that who decide? Is that him? He was a brahmachari, maybe, and he set up his standard and realized he's not going to work. And he changed it, but what's the standard? Who created, who allowed, who set up this rule that is not allowed, and then suddenly it was allowed, almost like he was brahmachari before, and then let's create some grihastha mentality or something. I don't know, is it any, but it is your view on it. Who created that rules?
Who
Krishna is just in background, just observing and doesn't do anything, and Brahma creates kind of rules and how he's going to create, and it's very interesting. Like, who is that to decide that was not allowed and then suddenly was allowed? Him or who deciding that?
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. Actually, when a CEO appoints a manager within a company, for instance, and the CEO will give a direction, there will be a mandate, there will be a policy, but sometimes the manager has his own liberty because he's a trusted party to be able to do things. Yeah, so not everything what Brahma does may not be dictated by Krishna. Yeah, so he has an authority, but he is also guided and channeled by Lord Krishna. Yeah, so at times, you know, he makes such kind of decisions, but then he learns from it. Just like, you know, I mean, when he was looking down upon Krishna as ordinary child in Vrindavan, that's his own mind, that's his own thought. He said, no, this little boy, this coward boy, grabbing the tail of a cow and running around, that cannot be my master, that cannot be my God. And, you know, the devatas were pushing him, no, he is your God, he's our God, he's the Supreme Person. So he wanted to test Krishna, that's why he took all the gopas away. So he has a liberty. There is some element of independence. I mean, Krishna cannot take the independence from everyone, including the devatas. Even the devatas have their independence. In fact, Brahma, because he has that independence, that's why he remained within the material world. Until they are liberated, some of these Brahmas, they still have independence. One of his independence is to think that I am the same level as Shiva and Vishnu. He does think like that. That's the reason Prabhupada says why he comes back. Until that consciousness disappears from his mind, he cannot go back to the spiritual world. There's a tinge of material attraction within the universe. So, he does things like that, but most of his activities are channeled. And also Krishna teaches him a lesson as well, once in a while. If he is out of line, he may bring some back. But I like the point you made in the beginning about the creation. Yes, you're right, in the beginning of creation, he was creating all kind of demoniac personalities, the Adityas, you know. And most of them were very ugly. And, you know, you may wonder why Brahma is creating all these personalities. But we have to understand when the living entities are created back again, they carry their own karma. If a demon, at the end of the annihilation, if the demon disappears, when the time comes for creation, he becomes a demon. He won't become a pure devotee because we all have our own karma. According to where we left off, we continue. So initially, he created all these personalities and he realized, what am I doing? You know, all these ugly creatures and demoniac, they're causing all kind of trouble throughout the universe. And like you were saying, and then he created Vak. She was one of the most beautiful personalities he created. So mentally, that was how he was attracted to her, although he hasn't done anything towards it as well. So he has some element of independence. Yeah, sometimes that independence can be abused. He has something out of the ordinary. That applies to many of the devatas. This kind of situation actually happened when you read the Vedas. You will come across Varuna, Indra. Indra had so much problem, isn't it, with the opposite sex?
I have a question when you're ready. Tarun Prabhu, that point about beauty, we have to be so careful. Mm. Obviously, we don't have that kind of a beauty here, you know, that would stupefy Lord Brahma or bewilder him. But the other point in the Vedas, Prabhupada didn't say much in his purport about this verse. Mm. And that was interesting. I was listening for Prabhupada to say something, to dig deep into it, but he didn't. I just wonder why. But anyway, he has his reasons.
Mm. He has mentioned it so many other purports.
Maybe, okay. But the thing I wanted to say was, you know, on this planet, with us here, amongst us, there are people who are, some of us are more lusty than others. Mm. So we really have to check ourselves, because we have so many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam about this lusty desire, sexual yes. lusty desires. Mm. So those of us who are know that we cannot trust ourselves. Mm. There are boundaries in everything, right? Yes. There are boundaries. But there are some of us who have this weakness. Mm. So we should check ourselves. Mm. So that's there. So I understand this. Mm. But in terms of not being with your sister and your mother, I find that I don't relate to that. I'm sorry. I can't relate to that on that practical level.
What's mentioned here is specifically, can you imagine if you're living with a young daughter of yours alone, day in, day out? We have senses. We have a sensual desire. At one point, you can fall into that trap. This is evident. This happens all the time. Abuse of fathers abusing their daughter. You've never heard of it? You've heard of it, right? It does happen.
I've heard of it.
But it depends how strong the person is. I mean, in general, mostly may not happen, but it is a risk. Yeah, it is a risk. So the Vedas are advising us, especially like you were saying, if we are weak-minded, definitely don't put yourself in that position. Yeah, that's what they are saying. It's not saying that it's just a rule. I mean, you can if you want to, but then you're taking that risk. Yeah? At some point, anything can happen. Yeah, but in general, yeah, I mean, people are respecting. But as Kali Yuga progresses, these things are more prevalent. You may not see those kind of incidents in Satya Yuga or Treta Yuga, especially in Kali Yuga. It's very horrible and degraded. These things happen. A relationship between father and daughter is, you hear it all the time, especially in this. You've never heard of it. You're very innocent.
No, not so innocent. I remember when I was growing up, I remember in my village, when I was growing up, there was a man who had sex with his sister. Mm. Wow, he was like, I still remember it.
Yeah.
Such a taboo.
They do happen.
It's a big thing.
It's a taboo, yeah. But then in the future, as Kali Yuga progresses, it becomes so normal. Trust me, it's going to be normal. It's as Kali Yuga progresses, so many daring things. Look at the Saptarishi. They say, oh my God, this is so daring, Brahma, what you're doing. We can't not even imagine, because this is a very pure environment, Satya Loka. Here in Martya Loka and the planet Earth, as Kali Yuga progresses, things get uglier and uglier and uglier. So the Bhagavatam is advising us from a day one, you know, segregate yourself, have a respectful distance, respect each other. Women may want to advance in a spiritual life. Why disturb her? You know, or vice versa. So Bhagavatam is setting the foundation for us. Yeah, these are the general principles that we should be aware and conscious of. But it's a good point that you're making. Hmm? Were there another question?
I think that was it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, there's some questions over here.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
We can forget breakfast today.
Oh my God.
Don't put me in trouble. I'll be in trouble. Putting me in trouble.
Well, thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. So I'll elaborate a little bit more on that. I was wondering, for example, for a father, if it's not allowed, like, to be in the same room alone with the daughter, or to be close to each other physically. Kids are naturally attracted to physical contact, especially like when they're young. How do you, what's going on with that?
That's a good point. Actually, last year I went back home to my home country, Ethiopia, and I met my cousins, and my cousins had children, two children. They're about age 7 and 8. One of them is a daughter. I don't know, typical being a devotee, I'm very careful, especially in the West, you know, very difficult to be seen to touch, you know, girls or whatever. So I didn't show that affection of hugging and lifting her or whatever. But the practice there is that, you know, when an uncle comes, you have to give them a hug and everything, yeah. So we have to find the balance. There is a cultural barrier in some cultures. Just like, you know, back home in Africa, people are very affectionate physically. Yeah, it's quite normal. You know, I remember one of my friends, when we left home, elementary school, until we go to school, we used to hug each other all the way to school and hug each other and come back because of our affection, closeness. Yeah. So there are different cultures. In the West, these things are a little bit frowned upon, but one has to be careful. But in general, the guideline is, especially for an adult, to be very conscious of such things and have a respectful distance at all times. If you need to show an affection, there's a way of showing affection to the young ones, to the children, in a respectful way, yeah? Not overdo it as such, yeah? So one has to be a little bit conscious not to affect the mind of others, depending on the culture. You know, every country is different. I find it very different. I travel around the world a lot, so in every country I have to understand the culture first. I worked in the Middle East for 10 years. It's just a no-no. You cannot touch a woman whatsoever. Yeah, and then I go to Africa. I have to change my mind again. You know, when you visit your auntie or something, you have to go all over them. Otherwise, they get offended. But it's not done in a lustful way. It's done in a very affectionate way. So, you'll learn that when you travel around the world in every country. You know, the gesture changes. But the main thing is to be reminded of the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Should always be conscious, not to overdo it, especially that physical connection. Yeah. If it is done for affection in a limited way, it may be acceptable. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you. And is there a difference between mother and son and father and daughter?
Same principle.
I just want to give some experience of mine. Mm. I worked in mental health, and it's quite prevalent, relationship with fathers and daughters, and also mothers and sons as well. Mm. It can happen. And, nowadays, especially in this material world, a room is hard to find. People have to stick to their parents' accommodation. They don't have a place to go. Yes. So what do? And that invites that kind of relationship, which is, it's another problem on its own to solve in the mental health system. Mm. So it does happen. It's not uncommon. It's not prevalent, actually. Yeah.
Let alone between humans. Even between human and animals is happening in Kali Yuga. Human is easy. Yeah. Can you imagine it's happening between humans and animals? You were saying that if one may be situated unhelplessly in a situation where we have to live together or something like that.
Yes.
But the main thing is there's a voluntary... If someone does it voluntarily or deliberately, that's a question. That's an area to correct. But if you don't have any option, we just have to increase our consciousness, keep it pure, and focus more and more on spiritual life in a way that we can protect ourselves. Because sometimes the situation may demand that we have to be together. you may have to travel together with the opposite sex, and you have to sit next to them, whatever. Mm. Keep chanting, keep increasing your devotion and consciousness, read together, something like that. You know, change the whole subject to a spiritual kind of matters in a way that we can protect ourselves. Otherwise, I think this principle is mainly for us to avoid it, not to do it deliberately, in a premeditated way, and to avoid this kind of situation, living together and living in a very close proximity with the opposite gender.
Absolutely.
In general, that's a principle.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, jai. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Haribol.